King's Edition Baptist Church, and certainly a joy to be at a Bible conference at King's Edition. Like Brother Newell, I've got a lot of memories here. I was saved here, actually, during one of the Bible conferences in 1991. Called to preach here, was ordained here, and so a lot of good memories, and certainly am thankful that that you all are continuing on with the preaching of God's Word, and I decided to have a Bible conference this year, and I'm very thankful that you decided to put me on the program, do bring you greetings from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church up in Mansfield, and certainly if you are ever up that way, come see us. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, I guess I should say, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We'll have a lengthy reading here. We'll begin with verse 1, and we'll go all the way down to the end. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greet thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. This is the final chapter of 2 Timothy. I absolutely love reading the New Testament, and I absolutely love reading that portion of the New Testament that was written by Paul the Apostle. He wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote to men, he wrote to churches, and he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he poured out his heart to them, giving them direction and instruction. I recommend that if you haven't ever done it, really get into the book of Acts. Understand some things about Paul's ministry and then get into his epistles. And you'll really, the Lord will really bless you with such a study. The letter before us, 2 Timothy, is his most personal of all of the letters that are in the scriptures. As this war-weary man of God was ready to go home and was facing death, and he was really, as he wrote to Timothy and gave him some much-needed direction. And those things are provided for us so that we also can understand these things as well. I've entitled my message, and you know, as from the time that I got invited to this conference until now, the Lord laid a message on my heart, and a couple other messages came up, and I thought about preaching them. A lot of times, I'll preach a message that I've preached before at the pulpit up in Mansfield first, but this is one that I haven't preached before, and it's one that I felt the Lord would have me preach here, and it's a message that I've entitled "Empty Pulpits and Empty Pews." Whenever we read this epistle, we find that there's a lot of names in 2 Timothy. In fact, the words that he wrote here, the names that he mentioned, these aren't words and names that we ought to just skim over and not consider. These are for us to learn from and understand some things. Paul was in the midst of a battle up until the day he died. You and I are also in the midst of a battle and will be up until the day that we're taken out of this world. Some 2,000 years have passed. We understand that there was a great trail of blood that has occurred. Much persecution happened in Paul's day. In fact, it is a great testimony to the cause of Christ whenever you consider that Paul was the persecutor known as Saul of Tarsus, dead man walking on his road to hell, and the Lord changed him there on the road to Damascus. The Lord made him alive. He was born again at a time when he was not looking for the Lord, at a time when he was on the other side of the war. And then he himself became perhaps Europe's most wanted men when the Romans thought about Christianity and thought about snuffing it out. If they were to have a most wanted list, Paul was at the top of it because he had been so zealous in carrying the gospel to all the different places in the known world. Some things hit me this month that really solidified that this message was the one that I would be preaching on Saturday, March 16th, so just a few Saturdays ago. I sat down in the home of a Baptist preacher in Wooster, Ohio, a pastor who he had retired due to his health. And I had only heard about him and the church that he pastored only very, very recently. But the church had disbanded. And what I went over to his house, cause he had called me on the phone and we ended up talking and on the phone, and he mentioned they had some books that I might be interested in. You mentioned books and an old pastor, and I'll be there in a flash. So I went over to his house and we sat down and talked, and he said that whenever he started pastoring the church where he was at, there was 150 people in the 1970s. And by the time that he resigned and the church disbanded and all of those things because of his health, there were only nine. He told me that had it been that he was younger, he would have stayed there and continued on. He also told me that if there would have been a man who would have stood and helped out to at least open the scriptures on Sunday and help him out, they would have continued, but they couldn't even find anybody in the church to do that of the few men that they had. Talk about empty pulpits and empty pews. You know, then on that following Monday, I received a text from Louisiana church down there. Some of y'all are familiar with it. The Grace Bible Baptist Church in Denham Springs. Their pastor died suddenly and unexpectedly after coming home from a Bible conference. He'd not been at that church for very long, but from what I understand, he had not been pastor of that church for very long. He'd been at that church for a while, but he had not been pastor of that church for very long. But from what I understand is he had learned the doctrines of grace just from reading his Bible. And you get in and really study the Word of God, you'll learn the doctrines of grace for sure. And then on that following Tuesday, I heard about a pastor of a church up there that had resigned over some doctrinal issues. Empty pulpits and empty pews. You might say, well, how in the world does this have to do with King's Edition? Certainly I'm thankful that this pulpit did not stand empty, that you all called the pastor. But whenever you look across the landscape, and there are other churches that are represented here besides King's Edition, when you look across the landscape across this country, you will find that there are churches disbanding. There are men and women who have departed from the faith. There are folks who have died out. And look around you and the pews are emptier. The pulpits are not what they once were. And we find that if we were to write a letter and reflect on our lifetime, we would find names written, kind of like what Paul did. Some who are still around, some who have departed. Where are they at? Even as we think about today, look in the mirror. You came to this meeting, and I'm glad you did, and I appreciate that. But how did you prepare for it? Did you come just because you thought it was, you had to come? Did you pray for it? Did you prepare for it? Were you excited to be here? I mean, here we are on a Saturday. We could be doing just about anything else in the world, could we not? And the world looks at us like we're crazy. You're going to do what on Saturday? A Bible conference? And then they want to know what kind of activities you have and what kind of entertainment you have and all of those sorts of things. Because anymore, it seems like that's what folks are looking for. Very, very seldom do you find people who are really interested in the preaching of God's Word. But that's what we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They're looking for fables. Brother Greg brought it up this morning. It's not even really a theory. It's a story. It's a far-fetched story. And they'll listen to it rather than to hear the truth of God's Word. And so, when we think about these things, we consider Bible conferences, we consider meetings like this. Are we, Are we really interested in them? Do we support them fully? I know that there are some folks from King's Edition who are missing this today. Where are they? And those who are here, how much have you supported this? Paul, as he wrote here in our text, he tells him there verse number 9, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." In the ministry of the Lord's churches, there are people who have certain things that they can do and certain things that they can't do. We understand that. Not everybody today has stood behind this pulpit and preached. We understand that, but we also know that there are people who have played some part in this meeting. Some folks have been able to sing special. Some folks have been able to cook some very good food. Some have been able to serve. Some have attended the preaching of the word and prayed and all of those things. And so everybody has done something or has the ability or capability of doing something here. As I was thinking about some of the conferences that we've been through in the past, it wasn't too long ago I was going through some old cassette tapes and copying them, making them digital. You know, I went through 6 tapes before I got to someone who was still alive and still preaching the truths of God's Word. The rest of them had either died and gone on to be with the Lord or had gone off in some error. Even in our own churches, there are some empty pews and pulpits. Oh, I know that there are reasons, but let us make sure that there are not excuses. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, let's start with verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Whenever we consider Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 through 25, and most particularly verse 25, there is some very applicable truth here that, whenever we look at the landscape and we consider that our own churches, and we go back a few years, we used to have a lot more services than what we have now. And I'm not 100% sure of what services y'all have here now, but I know up in Mansfield, we don't have as many services as what we used to. We have Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We've had to cut back. Why? It's the flesh. And even those fewer services that we have, we find that some folks still struggle to come to church. Why is it a problem for people to come to the church services? Why is it that many of the people that we've in my ministry and the years that I've been pastoring, many of the people that we've had to discipline have been not because they fell into some active sin, but rather because they simply just quit showing up to church. They just quit. In this passage here in Hebrews, he says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, to consider one another to provoke unto love to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." You know what that tells me? That tells me, one, that there were people in the days of Paul, and whether you, maybe Paul didn't write Hebrews, but anyway, in those early days, there were some folks who struggled back then as well. He said, don't be like them. Don't be like them. So much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Well, again, there's some folks who maybe have differing interpretations of this, but I believe the closer we get to the Lord's return, these last days that we're living in, we need to make sure that we are assembling ourselves together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2, not only assembling, but also to make sure that we're encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2, "You're puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." We ought to mourn over such sin as a lack of church attendance. We ought to mourn over the empty pews and the empty pulpits. We ought to mourn over these things. Whenever a brother departs from the faith, whenever we see these things happening, we ought to mourn over these things, because they are sin. It is sin. It is sin to lay out of church. It is sin to go off into some tangent and that's outside of the Word of God. We have to mourn over these things. We need to be encouraged, though, whether we hear of someone going away, or a church that has disbanded, or a pulpit that is empty. We ought to be encouraged. And I will say this before I run out of time, and that is that it doesn't harm the perpetuity of the Lord's churches. There have been churches through the ages that have fallen, that have pastors that have gone astray, and all those sorts of things. But the Lord has always had His churches that have continued on. And so don't be discouraged when you hear about these things. But we ought to pray for those churches. We ought to pray for those brethren. We ought to pray for those folks who are out, who aren't coming anymore, who used to preach the truth and now they don't. Someone might say, well, wait a minute, I'm sick and I can't come to church. Well, you know, there are sicknesses that certainly folks are providentially hindered and not able to come to church. We understand that. But I tell you, the more that I live in this sinful world, the more that I live with sinful me, I understand something, and that is that we need to examine ourselves in light of these things. When we see empty pews and empty pulpits, we need to begin to examine ourselves also. The Church of Corinth was in a mess, wasn't it? In fact, we see that Corinth was one of those churches that I really find myself wondering if the church I pastor, if we would have even had fellowship with them or taken the time to really try and help them out. But I'm thankful that that we have the letters that we do. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 27 and going down to verse 31, it says this: "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged," verse 32 says, "we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." The church at Corinth was, if we were to put it in terms of our day, they were playing church. And in this particular part of the epistle, they were abusing and misusing the supper. I mean, some were getting drunk from it. Some were getting into their own little groups and pockets and taking the supper while others weren't. There was no real unity in the Lord's Supper there at Corinth. No doubt some were abusing it so much that they weren't even showing up. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to them and gives them these harsh words and tells them this harsh reality. And he says, some of y'all are sick, some of y'all are weak, and some of y'all have died because of this. And he encourages them and tells them that they really need to examine themselves, judge themselves over these things. Now, I know, and don't misunderstand me, sometimes sickness and pain and death don't have anything to do with sin, at least directly. Understand, indirectly, all sickness and pain and death has to do with sin, because none of that would be here except for sin in the world. But we do need to examine ourselves in the light of the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we need to really, really take note of this. And so my time is quickly running out, but I'd like for us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we kind of bring this to a close. There's a whole lot of scriptures more that we could use out of this, but I just want you to consider, as you read through 2 Timothy 4, and consider this. When you read an epistle like this, know that not everyone can be a Paul. Perhaps you've never even been called to preach. Maybe you don't have the capacity or the way that you could go into different countries of the world to do missionary work. But in this epistle, there are some 23 people that are listed here. That's about the size of a pretty big Baptist church these days, I think. 23 people are listed here. Now, 12 of them are never listed anywhere else in the New Testament. Some are mentioned favorably, and others are mentioned unfavorably. No, you may not be the missionary, you may not be the pastor, you may not be the preacher, but everyone has a part in the service of God. And we are encouraged throughout the Scriptures, and even in these two epistles, as you read through them, We're told to study the Word of God. I know someone says, well, that's only to the preachers. But I tell you, that's not just to the preachers. Everyone who is listening to this, every child of God has the duty and responsibility to study and to rightly divide the Word of truth. How else would King's Edition Baptist Church have known who to call as a pastor and whether or not the things that he's preaching is worth anything that's any good? And the same thing goes where I'm at and where y'all are at, the different churches that are represented here. So, you've got to be attentive, studying the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. In 1 Timothy 4:13, we're told to be I don't want to misquote it. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to those things. I mean, look, whenever these guys who have gone astray, whenever they go astray, it doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes it happens very subtly. Would you recognize it? Be attentive to reading. Give attention to reading. Give attendance, rather, is the word that's used here. To give attendance. Don't just read the Word of God like as if you're reading a magazine at the doctor's office. You know how that is. You're reading the magazine at the doctor's office, but you're listening for your name to be called. When your name gets called, you lay the magazine down and you don't remember a thing that you've read because you're only doing it to pass the time. Don't do that. Don't do that. Read it, study it. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Know what you believe. And not only know what you believe, but why you believe it. Can you give chapter and verse to why you believe the doctrines that you believe? Understand those things. I'm telling you, one of the brethren talked about the church needed to be a teaching church. That's exactly right. We need people who will stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. Preach. I'm encouraged because I know that Brother Steve is going through the statement of faith. I did that whenever I first went to Sovereign Grace in Mansfield. Know what you believe. I know some good Bible school teachers or Sunday school teachers who went through not coloring books and crayons, but I'm talking about went through T.P. Simmons' book with kids. They need to know as well the theology and the doctrines. But no, you may not be a Paul, but be a Timothy. Paul knew he could count on him, even in his youth. Be a Luke. Study the book of Acts. Ever wonder how Luke knew so much about Paul's travels? Because he was there with him. Be a Mark, profitable to Paul. No, don't neglect the church services. Don't neglect Bible conferences, fellowship meetings, and the like. One time a man tried to tell me that he didn't need church because he stayed at home and read his Bible. You know what that told me? He really didn't read his Bible. Because if he read his Bible, he would have known he needed to be in church. It's that simple. Don't be a Demas or an Alexander. You know, for those examples that are good, watch out for, pay attention to those that are bad too. Those are written for a reason. Pray. Support meetings like this, but pray for those who are absent. Pray for those who are not here for whatever reason that they aren't here. If they're sick, pray for them to get well. If they're not here because they've fallen into error, pray for them that they'll return to the truth. Help them out any way you can. But thank you for your attention to the Word of God today. Yeah.